As many of you already know, yesterday Keith Sloan was elected to be the 11th Bishop of Alabama. The fact that Key was elected did not come as a huge surprise to anyone. He is known and loved by most everyone in the diocese. It may have come as a bit of a surprise that he was elected on the first ballot. That doesn't happen very often at all. Given the nature of the Episcopal Church, it's more surprising when we clearly agree than when we have to work toward consensus. So yesterday's election did not hold any huge surprises. There was not an upset, but there very well might have been. The Holy Spirit has been known to move the church and individuals in ways that were not previously anticipated. As a matter of fact, when God is involved, more often than not, our expectations or what we think we know are often proven to be inaccurate. So often when God and God's Spirit are at work, those things which we are certain of prove to be quite uncertain. We just don't know as much as we think we do. Since God decided to create man and woman, Adam and Eve, there has been a struggle. Since the very first man and woman, there has been an ongoing desire to be God, to be certain, and to be right in our certainty. And since that time, our certainty that we are right and that we know as much as God has gotten us in trouble. We can blame it on the snake in the garden. He convinced Eve that eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was really not a problem at all. He assured her that there would be no serious repercussions from eating from the fruit that God specifically told her not to eat. He went so far as to say, "You'll be as smart as God. You'll know what God knows if you do that." He presented God to Eve in human form. He made it sound as though God was somehow threatened by the man and woman, that somehow God would be diminished if they had this knowledge. When in fact, God told them not to eat from the tree to protect them from that hard knowledge. Unfortunately, they didn't listen to God. They listened to that voice within them that urged them to fall for the tempter's trick. The voice that we all know. The one that's so often depicted as a little devil on your shoulder with a pitchfork in cartoons. While the good voice, the one urging us to do the right thing, is drawn as a darling little angel with a white robe and a gold halo on top. Adam and Eve had that struggle, the very same struggle that we have and that Jacob had. Jacob, whose name means supplanter, has a history of not being one of the nicest guys. In his lifetime, he finagles away his brother's birthright, deceives his father-in-law, and by all indications, has been anything but an upstanding, trustworthy citizen. In the pericope that we have heard today, Jacob is traveling. He's tired and puts a stone under his head as an odd pillow of sorts. In his sleep, he sees the ladder with angels going up and down, and he is told by God that he will continue the promise that was made to his ancestor Abraham. Through Jacob, the line will continue. And not only will it continue, it will be great. We would never choose Jacob to be the father of a great nation. He's a schemer and a deceiver. He is not a good, ethical man. His morals seem to be nearly non-existent. But God chose Jacob and blessed him and stayed with him and fulfilled God's promise. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, the very first words out of his mouth are, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Finally, an honest line out of Jacob. In this very brief moment in time, Jacob admits that he did not know something. That God can be even in the most unexpected places and can work through and with the most unexpected people. Jacob then turns his stone pillow into a pillar so that everyone who passes by will know that this is a place where God has been met. They still may be a bit surprised that it was Jacob that God chose to use to fulfill his plan. The story we hear in Matthew about the good seed and the weeds is a good reminder of what we know and don't know. This parable also tells us a lot about the nature of God and God's kingdom. A sower planted good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and planted weeds, then left. When the workers realized what had happened, that there were weeds growing up among the wheat, they asked if they should pull the weeds up and were told, "No, leave them, or you'll pull up the wheat as well. Let both of them grow up together." Really? This is a gardener after my own heart. Don't worry about those weeds. Just leave them there. Unfortunately, this is not literally a story about a sower and an enemy night planter. It's a parable. And Jesus explains it to his disciples. The good seeds are the children of the kingdom, and the weeds are the children of the evil one. And we would, in our certainty that we are right and know what should be done, human nature, we would immediately expect that the weeds should be pulled up. Better even, they should be yanked out by the roots and thrown as far away as you can throw them so that they won't infest the rest of the garden. And those evil ones, we know who they are, don't we? We should get rid of them too. We probably wouldn't even be as conscientious as the slaves in this story. At least they went to the master and asked before they took it upon themselves to do some serious weeding. I'm not sure we'd do that. We'd probably just decide who or what the weeds are and take it upon ourselves to get rid of them. That's how we think. And Jesus knows it. That's why he uses such parables to teach us. He says, "No, leave them there. The weeds are not your concern." He doesn't say, "Maybe they'll become good wheat." He doesn't say, "Maybe the wheat will rub off on the weeds and they'll become something other than what they are." He just says, "Leave them alone. Let them stay together. Wait until the harvest, and at that time, at the time of the harvest, the two will be separated. And who will separate them? Not the other seeds. Not the wheat. The master." Isn't that wonderful news? Isn't it great to know that it is not up to us to know who the wheat is and who the weeds are? Isn't it wonderful that God makes those sorts of distinctions so we don't have to? When we first come to realize that we, like Jacob, may not in fact know it all, that there may be preconceived notions that we have that act as blinders, that those things that we are absolutely certain about may not be so certain after all, When we first come to that understanding, we may be a little uneasy. For many of us, giving up control goes against our nature. Even giving up control to God. But sooner or later, we must, if we're going to truly enter the kingdom. Sooner or later, we must realize that God knows our hearts and the hearts of all His people. That God alone knows who the good seeds are and who the weeds are. God, who is gracious and good and patient and kind, will sort all of this out. The judging and the sorting are not up to you and not up to me. We're just encouraged to grow. Thanks be to God. Amen.